Our friend Jim Rome, 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking sports. Why does Kobe Bryant have no friends? Why does Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez have handwriting like a girl? And what's going to happen with the NBA trade deadline? We'll discuss all of that and more with our friend Jim Rome. That is coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Kevin, tell me about this conversation that apparently I missed with our friend Reggie.
Well, we all have jobs that we think we can do, and then we all have jobs that we think that we absolutely could not do. And being a waiter or waitress is one that I absolutely could not do.
Well, you would be terrible at it reason that I would be terrible at it, which is it sucks having to deal with the public.
I would be so impatient, I think. If you walk up to a table and they don't know what they want, oh, I don't know, let me look. I'd go, I'll be back in a minute. I got other things to do. Like, I don't think I would have the patience to do it. And Reggie, who works here at K-Rock, was a waitress. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how are you guys?
And you were a waitress and you had a great, great time, didn't you?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Oh, are you still doing it? You're still waiting?
Yeah, I'm currently still serving. Yeah.
So you're doing that and you're working here at K-Rock as well. And I guess there was a conversation the other day that I wasn't a part of where you were sharing some of the fun times you've been having as a server. And we thought that might be interesting to talk to other waiters and waitresses about what their job is like. Do you like it in general?
I mean, we get a lot of different personalities. 80% of them suck. 20% are great.
Oh, so that's 80%. Really good. 80% of your customers suck?
Yeah. Maybe like out of 10 customers, we have 8 really bad ones.
All right, let me just ask this. Are you bad? Mm-hmm. Is it your fault?
No, it's not my fault. I try to give everyone an open mind. I'm very positive, so I try to like be nice to everyone.
All right, what is it in your opinion that makes 8 out of 10 of your customers suck? What are we, the consumer, doing wrong, Reggie?
Okay, so as far as personality, I mean, you can't help people out like that. They're just the way they are is the way they are, and you just got to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
But I think the worst has to be just wanting everything immediately when there's 4 other tables you have to work out with. You know, like you have to chips and salsa and like drinks and food, but they want everything very specifically, and it's so hard to like try to manage like 5 different tables and 5 different personalities when it's just one person, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. So the number one complaint you would have is that people are impatient and they have unreal expectations about how much the server is able to do.
Yes, exactly. And I think for some reason people get very comfortable at a restaurant.
Right.
And they just become like, they say things that I think they wouldn't normally say to a stranger. I don't know if it's because you're helping them out or something. I don't know what it is, but.
Tell us about your new boyfriend, your new future husband.
So this happened recently at the restaurant I'm working at. There was a customer that was with 4 other dudes, young, handsome guys, really nice. They were kind of being overly nice, and one of the guys specifically kept on making really weird jokes. Like I'd drop off their plate and I'd be like, oh, just be careful, they're really hot. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's not the only thing that's hot.
Oh
here.
No.
Yeah.
So really,
like cheesy jokes like that, and
I have mad respect for that man. That's a great line.
That is so mean.
That is a great line.
No,
and that works
terrible.
And that works, right, Reggie?
Of course not, no.
Reggie,
no.
If you see Bean, never wait on him.
Okay,
okay, so all of them are being too nice.
Yeah, like one of them likes more than others for mm-hmm. sure. And then towards the end, like they were drinking all night, so towards the end he came up to me and asked for the check, but just by himself he walked out of his table and walked up to me and he's like, "So I was wondering if we could grab drinks together someday and see what happens later."
Ooh.
Yeah, I just don't understand what.
That's the assumptive close, isn't it, right there?
Yeah, so after that, I told him, I was like, look, I'm at work. I don't give out my information at work. It's like just another job. Like, it's nothing personal. I was like, I'm sure you're great, but it's just not. Like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, so you're trying to be nice?
Yeah, no, he was not having it. He called me a bitch. He's like,
God.
I don't understand why you have to be so bitchy. He's like, I know you're at work. And he was so rude after that. Like, I dropped off his check after that. And he, like, flung the plates, like, right across from me. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, this is not going to make me want to go on a date with you if you're going to be pissy and, like, not.
Yeah, no kidding. So, look, Reggie, I mean, you're young and you're pretty and you're very personable. So I'm sure
it's
not
you.
a
su-
I mean, let's face it. We all know that. But so it's not a surprise that he would be interested in acting and asking you out. But what it sounds to me like you're saying is that a lot of people think that you have a closer relationship than you do just because you bantered back and forth for 20 minutes over the course of a meal. Right. That doesn't mean exactly. You guys are friends. It means you're working and they're customers. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just me. I just like to be nice and like just enjoy my job that much more. But yeah, I don't know what makes it more comfortable. And I've actually had a couple even hit on me too. I don't know what it is.
A couple? Like, yeah. All right.
Older. No, but they're like in their early 50s. Like,
yes, even worse
like,
for you.
Together.
So, Reggie, let me ask you this, because we're going to take some calls from other servers and servers and servettes. What are they called? Waiters and waitresses, I guess.
Yeah,
we want to
hear
from you at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for, Kevin? Are we looking for just horror stories, or are we looking for awesome things that have happened
to
you?
No, nightmares. I think because she said they're 80% bad. And I believe
80%.
That. I believe that, because I think people just are dicks to people who they can be dicks to. And it sucks.
Totally
Reggie,
agree, yeah.
do most people, and we'll let you go and get back to sleep or whatever you're doing, but do most people leave what you would expect an average, you know, like 15% tip, or are people like wildly unversed in how to tip properly?
This is sad, but it really does depend where you work, like what city you work in.
Okay.
And what restaurant you work at. So I guess I work at a corporate place, so it's not the fanciest place,
right?
So the people don't tip that well. They really don't. Like like that guy didn't tip me out anything after I didn't give him my number.
Well, you said
well, because
no.
You're a bitch though
tab. You said no. Reggie,
exactly. I know, sorry.
How
that's saw that coming.
That's a weird thing to me, a guy who in 1 second is asking you out and in the next second is calling you a bitch
and treating you like crap.
Dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
At least take me out, you know? Like,
right. Leave me a tip. Maybe say we should go for coffee. Come back another day. Try to work it.
Exactly.
Wow,
come back
that's
once
insane.
A week, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, leave 20% instead of 15. You know?
There you
or
go.
Or zero.
All right, Reggie. Well, you are awesome. Thank you for sharing your experience. We're gonna open up the phone lines now at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from waiters and waitresses. We want to hear about the crappy 80% of us customers who are in there getting a meal. Reggie, we'll see you soon, my dear. Thanks for the time.
All right, bye.
I got to tell you, I tip always. Always, because I couldn't do that job. Mm-hmm. I think if this person is bringing me food, if they're doing a job that I don't think I would last a day at, I'm going to tip them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think that I have I don't think that I've ever left a protest penny tip or no tip at all like some people do. I don't think I've ever been in that situation before. I think I'm a minimum of 15% tip.
Plus, the waiters and waitresses better go out with me when I ask. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. That's only fair.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. Got a brand new internet roundup, and we're going to talk to Dean Winters, the star of Battle Creek, a brand new TV show coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your horror stories of being a waiter or waitress. We just heard from our friend Reggie about some of the things that have happened to her. Listen to these before we go to the phones, Kevin. Right. This is going to blow your mind. Nicole writes in, I was a server for a couple of years. At Fridays, I had a lady flick soup in my face because it wasn't hot enough for her.
How does a human being get to that point?
I don't know.
Honestly, no matter how mad you are, do you throw food at people?
Robert writes in, used to be a server, had customers leave both used diapers and used tampons on booth seats or under tables on different occasions. People are horrible.
Wow.
Under what circumstances are you leaving a used tampon in a booth at a restaurant? Hey, let's go to Carlos real quick. He's in Hollywood. He's on line 3 to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you. You're a waiter?
Yeah, I'm a server at a restaurant down in Hollywood off of Sunset.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the worst story I've ever had is I was attending to a bachelorette party after hours, since our restaurant is open later after hours. We're open until 4 in the morning on Saturdays.
Right.
And it was a group of 22 women that showed up and wound up destroying the place about maybe 20 minutes before we were going to close down.
Were they drunk?
I mean, they were drunk
okay.
as hell.
Yeah.
They vomited in the bathroom. Ugh. They broke a table. They just made a mess of the entire place. And after everything, their check ran up to about $500, a little over. and they wound up leaving me no tip.
Wow.
Dude. Because I would think the one advantage to having an unruly group like that is they'll take care of their server because they know that they're a handful. But nothing, huh?
Nothing, especially since now we can't add gratuity. And since the beginning of this year, you can't automatically add gratuity to any amount of customers.
Is that just your restaurant or all restaurants?
It's technically a new law that's passed by in California that no restaurant is allowed to put in the automatic gratuity anymore.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's pretty common in a lot of places.
I know, but I got screwed over that. And then the worst part of it was I wound up having to stay about 2 hours helping clean up afterwards.
Mm. The worst part is that there were 22 drunk girls in your restaurant, and you hit none of them. That's the worst part. All right, Carlos, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Antonio, Pasadena, Line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Antonio.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Basically, a drunk guy.
You sound surprised to be on the phone right now.
Did you just say, what is it? You're trying to think of your story?
No,
Antonio, you remember that you called us, right? We didn't wake you out of a sound sleep and insist on a story from you, right?
Go ahead.
A drunk guy tried to fight me for not bringing his water fast enough.
You didn't bring his water fast enough, so he threatened to fight you.
It took me maybe 10 minutes to bring his water because I had 9 tables to take care of.
Yeah. Well, that's what Reggie was saying, is a lot of people feel like they're the only customer, and that's the kind of service they expect, and that's just not practical at a restaurant most of the time.
Yep.
But I feel like delivering water. I mean, 10 minutes is a long time, honestly, but how does a person get to the point where they want to fight you?
he didn't just try and fight me. He actually left his booth, walked towards me, and had to be His wife was trying to hold him back, and my manager had to shoot me to the back and tell me to calm down.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Good times. All right, Antonio, thanks. Sorry to wake you up, man, but thanks for the call. Trey writes in, listen to this, Kevin. I had a pimp tell me that in lieu of a tip, I could spend my lunch break with one of his employees. They were sitting there with him at the table.
Oh, my God.
So he's at the restaurant, and the pimp says, how about one of these for a tip instead? All right, let's talk to Josh in Whittier, Line 6. I think I may have a bone to pick with Josh here.
Oh, you think it's Josh's fault?
Let's find out.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening and for calling. All right, so you are or were a waiter. What was the problem?
I was a waiter, and I had a regular, and he's a Vietnam veteran, you know, that's what he did accordingly. And he comes in Monday through Sunday, you know, sits in the same spot, and he expects everything for free. He expects free refills. He expects discounts on food. You name it, he wants it for free. And if it's not there fast enough, he's going to throw a fit. One time I was cleaning his table, and then he decided to slide his half-filled cup of lemonade towards me as I was cleaning it up, and it spilled, thus causing a bigger mess for
no apparent reason. Now, did he think that he deserved everything for free or discounted because he was a veteran?
He thinks he's above everybody. I mean, I've had police officers, firefighters, paramedics, they come in, they want to pay for their food, and they, you know, leave a really nice tip. This guy, for some reason, just thinks he's above everybody.
Yeah. So he's over there in the jungle fighting Charlie for your freedom, and you're giving him lip because he wants a refill on his lemonade in a timely fashion. That's the America we live in now. That's what's going on, Josh?
More or less. I mean, this guy's fat. I don't know what he was actually scouting. Maybe the kitchen.
As long as he's fat.
From the Anchorman movies and Delivery Man and The Internship and The Watch and The Dilemma and Fred Claus and The Breakup, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Our friend Vince Vaughn makes his return to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. By the way, Kevin, got some great news for you.
Yeah.
Did you hear that they're making some progress on the writer syndrome?
No.
No, I did not, Bean. Tell me more.
We were talking a couple of days ago about Dr. Stephen Hawking. And he's got the ALS, you know, which is, the brain is misfiring the communications to his body. And it's very sad. And, of course, they're working very hard. You remember the ice water challenge from the summertime? Everybody's working really hard. And then it turns out that that you have something very similar that has been named after you as well. It doesn't necessarily make you smarter, with the writer syndrome that you've got.
Did we decide it was airborne? Was that the problem?
I think that was our concern, is because a lot of people around you seem to be getting dumb. dumber just by working with you. Hey, look, that's why I moved away, okay? I was concerned about my proximity.
Here's the weird thing is Beer Mug, who used to run the board in here, now he's in the other room. Mm-hmm. Has really stepped it up.
Yeah.
Like, he's happy. He's able to communicate.
He wrote a book and balances checkbook.
That's correct. At the same time.
Yeah.
As soon as he got out from under your wing, all of a sudden, it's like he gained 100 IQ points. So it's very terrifying for all of us anytime a new disease is unveiled onto the world. But the good news is that the Rider Syndrome Association, the RSA, is now putting their considerable resources to the American public trying to get a cure for what ails you, Kevin. And here's their first fundraising pitch.
Are you or someone you love affected by Rider Syndrome?
I learned 6 new languages. Never mind.
Victims of Rider Syndrome seem normal on the outside, but when they open their mouths...
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since... Since 2013 and with the time you are. Should I try that again?
The horror of Rider Syndrome is all too evident.
Tennessee.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Symptoms of Rider Syndrome are confusion.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Anger.
Watch what you're doing, mother effer!
More confusion.
Maybe she just fell off the bandwagon and that was it. I don't believe you fall off the bandwagon.
And a whole lot of stupid.
It's a good thing. That's gold, personal, you know what I'm saying.
Rider Syndrome is named after radio personality Kevin Rider.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
He's the Lou Gehrig of dummies.
The sum of the parts is greater than all of the sum of the, well, you know.
Sadly, there is no cure for Rider Syndrome.
Just let it go.
But there is treatment. Vodka Red Bulls and granola bars.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
However, research into this horrible illness is more important now than ever.
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk.
So please give what you can.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Make your tax-deductible donation out to the Rider Syndrome Association. Or as Kevin calls it, the RVKG.
It's so much worse than I thought it was.
Pacquiao delivers one violent confrontation after another.
He's getting hit with virtually every shot that Pacquiao throws.
This is getting embarrassing.
Manny Pacquiao has beaten Oscar De La Hoya. Pacquiao's hands are blindingly fast. Another perfect right hand for Pacquiao. Another right hook. Straight left hand. Pacquiao's landing at will. Hard left hand. Hatton has to hold on. Will Hatton make it out of the round? He's down for the second time. Pacquiao hits Cotto with a hard left hand. And another. And another. This is the brilliance of the Filipino slugger. Body backed into a corner and for a moment was inert as Manny banged away. Marquez's feet are wobbling. He's in trouble. Pacquiao attacks. What a round. Four punch, five punch, six punch combination. Body shot, body shot. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Do you want to throw sometime? This is the Manny Pacquiao who has dominated boxing.
The reigning pride of the Philippines, Manny Pacquiao!
I get goosebumps listening to all that. Sports royalty steps into the Kevin and Bean Show. 10-time boxing world champion and history's first boxing congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, Manny Pacquiao in studio with us here on the program. Hey,
hello.
Manny. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
What do you think about when you hear all those clips of all of your various big fights over the years? It gives me goosebumps. How does it make you feel?
Happy.
Well, Manny is here today because there's a documentary that has been made that is called Just Manny. It's going to be appearing at the Universal City Walk and the Block of Orange and other select theaters starting this Friday and available everywhere on demand. Why did you agree to do a documentary at this point in your career, Manny? You're not done yet.
Yes, it's good to have a documentary like this because it's will inspire people, especially to those who love boxing, and also they will know about Manny outside boxing.
Speaking of being inspirational, and your fans know this, but others may be listening may not realize where you came from. You were not just poor; you were crushingly poor. What do you remember about those very early years, Manny, before you started making enough money to support yourself in boxing?
That's right. We're not just poor. We just, you know, we don't have nothing. Sometimes we don't have food to eat a day and we just drink water. So that's my experience in life, our life. And that's what I want to share to everybody, that my life before is not easy.
How many people in your family?
We have four. I have two brothers and one sister and my mother.
And you guys grew up in a very, very small town in the Philippines, right?
Yes, exactly. And then we don't even have a house.
You didn't have a house? Where did you live, outside?
We just, you know, very, very small, what we call it, we cannot call this a house. It's,
like a lean-to, sort of? Something that you kind of just built out of what you could find?
Yes.
Like a tent?
Yeah.
And you didn't see a car or a television until you were, you know, 5 or 6 years old. How old were you when you moved to the city to start boxing?
I was, when we moved to the crowded area, I was 6 years old, 7 years old.
And then you moved again to find fights, right? To start boxing as a young man. You were what, 16 years old or something?
Yeah,
like
when
that?
I moved, I was 13, 14 years old.
Now, why is it you think you chose boxing other than some other way to make a living? I mean, your primary goal was to get your family out of poverty. How did you choose boxing as a profession?
It is. I believe that it is God's will. I mean, God's direction. Because before, I don't know boxing. I mean, I just I had a friend, and we have a conversation with my friends, and we decided to fight a fight because there's a prize money. So the prize money is if you win, you got $2, and if you don't win, $1. So
it was worth it either way.
Yes, it's worth it. So even you lose, you can have money. So that's what we're looking for. I mean, we're not thinking about to be a boxer or anything. We don't know boxing.
That's amazing. Now, did you soon find that you liked boxing, or is it something that you just kept doing because you were very, very good at it?
When I keep on winning, I don't care if I'm winning or not, but as long as I'm thinking about the money that I bring to my mother and to my family, and then I keep winning every Sunday, and then, of course, I give it to my mother, the money that I earn in boxing, and then later on, keep on winning, and I'm always winning, and then my uncle really liked boxing, and he always watched a championship fight. Before it's that DVD, BHS, you know, he always watch BHS and boxing.
Uh-huh.
And then he encouraged me to watch it. And there's a championship fight. There's a lot of championship fight that my uncle watched. And then that's George Foreman, Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson. And my uncle told me that, you know, if you become a boxer, maybe you will be like them. You know, you will become popular, and then you earn million of money. And then I told my uncle, it's kind of, it's a joke.
It's a joke because every little boy and now girl grows up thinking they can be a professional athlete, but it's almost impossible to succeed in that line of work. There are very few people who are able to do what you are able to do, Manny. And it's amazing to me that he looked at you and said, hey, here's a boxer, because you weighed about 90 pounds, right?
Yeah, only 98 pounds. The minimum weight is 105. So I'm... That's a good experience in my life.
Yes, it's unbelievable. I wanted to ask you about that because this is the voice of Manny Pacquiao here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, his new film called Manny, which you should check out, available at select theaters and on demand starting this Friday. Mm-hmm. You're famous for being not only a 10-time boxing world champion, but for having won in so many different weight classes. Nobody's ever done that before, as many weight classes as you had. Why is it so easy for you to gain weight and fight at another weight when almost no one else can do that?
Actually, my weight is not that big, but I'm just, you know, I just want to fight a big 147, but my regular weight is 140, 135. I can still make it. But I just want to fight 147 because there's a lot of popular boxer there.
You you certainly don't need to fight anymore, Manny. You have a very full life with your career as a politician, a congressman back home in the Philippines. You have a very successful speaking tour. You do lots of other things. And as we know from our friend Jimmy Kimmel, you're a hell of a singer too, Manny. Why do you still want to fight at, what, 36 years old?
Boxing has become my, you know, since when I was young, my passion, and I really like boxing because that's, because of boxing, I become known, and my, I bring, you know, I help my family.
Yes, but you're long past needing to help your family at this point. I know you don't need the money, but you still have that fire inside of you that makes you want to win. You still want to win another fight.
You know, it's not about money. It's about you know, I'm happy. I'm enjoying that giving honor to my country, and every time that I win the fight, people of the Philippines are rejoicing. I mean, I can see their in their face that they're very happy, and I want that.
Well, you are certainly the most popular person who has ever come out of your country, and I imagine it is very difficult for you to walk around on the streets there. I imagine you get mobbed everywhere you go.
I know that, and I'm very thankful to God and to the people who always supporting me in all the endeavors that I want.
Do you think that one day you will be president of the Philippines, Manny?
Oh, I don't have that in my mind. What I have is to focus as a congressman in the Philippines and to help people, because I want to. My goal is to help them, the people who don't have a house, who don't have food to eat, because I've been there. I mean, we know. I know their feeling.
Certainly do. No, I mean, you can certainly speak to what it's like to rise out of poverty more than any other person. What do you think of the boxers in your weight class that are available to fight now? What do you think of the sport of boxing where it is now?
The boxers who are in my weight categories, of course, they want to fight with me. You know, I'm willing to fight with them and give them a chance to fight.
Do you feel that there's a lot of good talent out there? Because at many times in your career, there you have looked around and there has been nobody worthy as a competitor. There are people out there, do you think, would give you a good fight?
Yes, there are a lot of fighters who can give a good name and bring boxing up. And, you know, they're a future generation after us.
Is there anyone in particular whose name I know you are tired of hearing that you would like to mention this morning?
I will not mention the name.
There's been an awful lot of talk about a very particular fight that may happen later this year. Is there anything new that you can tell us about that?
The fight? I think the fans want to fight with me and Mayweather. That's the fans excited to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. The fans have been wanting that for a long time, and it sounds to me like you have been agreeable to that for a long time, but you can't get your boy Floyd on board. But you feel like it will happen now.
I agree of me and my promoter agreed already of the term and condition of all what he wants, and we're just waiting for the signed contract from them. And
you must be aware of how much boxing fans hate Floyd Mayweather. For as successful as he is in the sport, we all think he's a dick. Do you think he is a dick also, Manny?
But, you know, it's kind of I'm ashamed to claim myself that I'm a pound-for-pound fighter, a number one pound-for-pound in the world, and I'm ducking anybody. You know? I'm ducking somebody.
Yes.
It's kind of a shame to myself if I'm doing that.
Yes, it is shameful that he has been ducking you for as long as he has. So obviously
exactly.
We all very much want that to happen. If the fight happens, will you then retire? Do you think you are done, Manny? Will that be the last hurdle for you?
No, I don't know, but what is in my mind is I can still continue my fight. Like what I said, it's not about material things. It's about how I can entertain people, how I give enjoyment to the fans.
Well, you are a beloved figure in this country and around the world. And believe me, if that fight happens, we are all going to be rooting for you, Manny. And I hope that it does happen. The movie is fascinating. If you want to see especially the early fights, to see Manny at 15, 16 years old fighting, it's just amazing. I mean, one of the things that you always do is you get stronger as the fight goes on. And I don't know how you do that, but nobody else is as good as you in a 10th, 11th, 12th round. It's incredible. I can't imagine what you have to do to keep in that kind of shape, Manny.
It's a discipline and hard work and training. If the fight 12 rounds, I train every day 24 or 30 rounds. So that's how I did.
Unbelievable. Well, Liam Neeson is the narrator. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel makes an appearance in the movie, and you see, obviously, your wife is in the film. Freddie Roach is in the movie. Quick cameos from Mark Wahlberg, Jeremy Piven. I mean, it's and all the people in boxing, the Lampleys and the Merchants and the Sugars are all in there, too. If you're a boxing fan or a fan of seeing a guy pull himself out of poverty and become one of the most beloved sports figures in the world, you should definitely check out the movie. It is called Manny in select theaters and on demand this Friday. Manny, congratulations on the film. Congratulations on your wonderful career. And thank you so much for stopping by today. We enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Manny's just such a tiny little guy when he comes in. You never even notice him on the street. Yet he can knock out you and everybody you're with.
It's true.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it, Ralph?
Speed kills, man.
I guess so, man.
It's not about size. It's not about weight. It's about speed.
He packs a lot of punch into that tiny little frame. Anyway, this Manny documentary, if you're at all interested in the story of Manny or boxing, you should definitely check it out. It's real, real good.
How big's a bullet?
No, that's true. It does a lot of damage.
If it comes at you fast enough, it will F you up.
Revisiting.
Good night, everyone.
In the film, that fight he did with Oscar De La Hoya, where Oscar was, you know, the biggest boxer in the world and was so much bigger and you know, reputation preceded him and everybody thought it was good. I mean, in the Philippines, they tried to get that fight canceled because they were worried Manny was going to get killed. That's how much everybody thought Oscar was going to win. And Manny just decimated him.
Yep.
Took him apart.
It's fun to see.
Like, not even trying.
Yep.
Unbelievable story. An incredible athlete.
And then Oscar put on stockings and high heels.
That's what happened right after that.
Exactly. He turned his head around.
All right, we've had this conversation off here for a long time, and it cracks us up how somebody can completely have one frame of mind about something. You think this, you're 100% sure, and then later at some point you completely reverse, and you just go, you know what? Wrong. I love it.
I do love that someone has an open mind to do that.
I do, too. And I do think there is such a thing as maturing. And I do think there is such a thing as gaining context on a thing. And I don't necessarily agree with you, Kevin, that you were wrong. I just think that at that time in your life, that's how you sincerely felt. And now you feel a different way. And I think that's okay.
What was it? Journey?
This is how the conversation started recently.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Ralph was doing a show business story about Steve Perry. And we were talking about the band Journey, who has been enormously popular for 40 years. They've been popular. And I offered on the air that at one time in my life, they were my least favorite band in the world. You know how you cringe at Taylor Swift today, Kevin?
Yeah.
Like, she drives you crazy and you can't get away from her?
Probably even if she's doing something that's not offensive, it offends me.
Right. Just because she's in your face. Yeah. Right. That's how I was about Journey. I know it's hard to believe, but there was a time back in the 70s and 80s where Journey was a huge band, like cover a Rolling Stone and the concert tour, and they were gossiped about.
You hated them.
I hated them so much.
You're all about music, and I would have thought you would love them.
Yeah, why did you hate them so much?
What's wrong with you?
You know what it was? You know how there are some voices that just you can't understand, you just can't get behind?
Yeah.
You know, some people feel that way about
Neil Young.
Neil Young. Perfect example. Neil Young is a guy, he has millions of fans. You don't get how anyone can listen to a Neil Young record.
Right.
Young record. That's how I was about Steve Perry records. I heard that voice and it drove me crazy. It was so high. It was like listening to Nick sing. And I mentioned this on the air last week. I was so obsessed with and upset with the band Journey that I actually wrote strongly worded letters to music magazines that would print stories about Journey. And I know that's a crazy step too far.
So you'd write Rolling Stone magazine and say, yes. Hey, Journey yes. sucks. Stop giving them coverage?
Yes. Why are you writing about this horrible band? Journey is the worst. And I mentioned that in Rolling Stone, one of my letters that got printed, I referred to Steve Perry's high voice as amplified mosquito torture. I always remember that I wrote that. I hated them so much. And then somebody said, well, how do you feel about Journey now? I'm like, love them. couldn't listen to them anymore.
Love them.
I don't understand how that happens.
I don't either.
Because they didn't change their sound at all.
Nope.
They're consistent. Even the new guy that came in sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
Don't Stop Believing, which was probably my least favorite song the year it came out. I couldn't have hated a song anymore. Now I turn it up when it comes on the radio. Love it. Got no problem with Journey whatsoever. Miss Steve Perry. Wish you'd come back to the band. an absolute 180-degree flip-flop. I couldn't love Journey anymore now. Listen to him on purpose in my free time now. Couldn't have hated him anymore back then.
All right, so you changed your mind 100% is what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Off the air, I told the guys that I can't even remember what magazine it was. I think it was Spin.
I want to say it was Details.
Details? Okay, could have been that. I used to write a column for Details, and I did a column on how much soccer sucks.
You did?
Yes.
Now, this blew our mind when you said that, because none of us remember this, because you, as everyone knows, are the number one soccer fan on the show.
Love it.
You go home and watch soccer almost every day.
Love
it. You tweet about it. You went to the World Cup in Brazil. You couldn't be a huge...
Couldn't love it more.
It's your favorite sport.
Love the Galaxy. Love FC Barcelona. I watch the Spain League every time. It's awesome.
Season tickets to the Galaxy now from a guy who once wrote a national magazine about how much soccer sucked.
And I remember my 2 points was they should cut out the 70 yards in the middle of the field. So that it would move faster, because nothing's happening in the middle of the field. So that way it would just be shot, 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 which is basically hockey. And the other was, if it gets boring, we drop an extra ball out of the ceiling. And they're both live. That would be awesome, right? So I was just trying to be funny, and I was right. But then, see, the difference here being is that I actually learned about soccer and now have an appreciation of the teamwork that it takes, and everybody has to play their part and their role. They all have to do the right things to succeed as an 11, man team. Mm-hmm. So I now understand soccer and love it.
So you evolved, basically.
I would like to think I did. But you with Journey is weird.
I don't get it either.
They're doing the same thing,
yes,
and you didn't.
Nothing has changed.
Right. And these are literally the same songs. They changed. Yeah.
I was just me being an idiot when I was writing about soccer because I was trying to be funny. But
that is
seriously the two balls, though. That should be a thing.
That's a great idea, by the way. That really is remarkable, though, that you had that kind of a turnaround, because usually somebody who, like Ralph Garman, for instance, he hates soccer the way you hated soccer back in the day.
Yeah.
But he's never even going to give it a chance because he's written it off in his life. Soccer's not a thing.
Right.
That's where you were, but for whatever reason, your eyes got open to it.
Because I'm a much more evolved human being than Ralph.
I'm sure that's it.
I have an open mind. That's what I'm known for, is an open mind.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What's the thing that you used to hate and now you love? Let's take a couple calls real quick. Let's start with, we got some great ones here. Let's start with Ryan, please. Let's go to Ryan in South Pass on line 4, please.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Ryan.
What did you used to hate but now you love?
Prince.
Well, now that's interesting.
Man, did he bring the energy last night on the Grammys, huh?
Woo!
Yeah, I don't know. When he first started, my wife loved him, and I couldn't stand him. The whole holes in the pants and the high heels and the prancing around like a little pony.
He pranced around like a little pony.
Yeah.
And then what changed your mind? Because if you didn't like Prince during Purple Rain at his peak, what made you like him after that?
You know what? It took a while, but it just I realized that he was a killer musician, and that's what it was all about.
So him playing guitar really got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's awesome, and I love him, and I went to see him at the Forum when he did those 21 nights in a row, and it was the best concert ever.
How about that? Well, you got to thank your wife for that then. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Ryan. 1-800-520-1067. I used to hate it, but now I love it. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking about a change of mind, 180 degrees from where you used to think is how you think now about a topic. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jorge writes in, when I was in middle school back in the 90s, I would only listen to the Baker Boys on Power 106. My mom used to listen to the Kevin Bean Show, which I thought was so dumb. I was forced to listen in the house. We were all getting ready, and I think it was Kevin's bathroom interviews that turned me around. And here I am 21 years later listening every morning. Jorge got turned around in a mere 20 years. Well done, sir. Appreciate that.
Wait, he said our show was stupid, and me in a bathroom interviewing people in the next stall is what turned him around?
Apparently so.
Baker Boys!
Changed his mind. Hey, let's go to Diego in Upland, please, on line three. This is exactly what we're talking about. You used to hate a thing and now you love it, or the other way around. Hey, Diego, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing? Diego here.
Hi, Diego.
Yeah, well, we've established that me. So, okay, yeah, the thing I used to hate was Harry Potter, the books, the movies, you name it.
Mm-hmm. You hated everything Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah.
Did you read them or see them?
No, actually, when I was young, it was the hype that really came
hype.
My mind. Couldn't really explain it, but it was. I think it was in junior high, I went as Merlin, but the beard was uncomfortable. So they're like, are you Harry Potter? I'm like, no, I got tired of hearing it so much. Then high school rolled around. We had one of the books, the Philosopher's Stone, in my, in one of my classrooms in high school. And then I read it. It was complete 360, well, 180 for me.
If it's 360, you're back to hating it. So, right?
Yeah, killing me with my words. But basically... Okay. You know, I mean, it turned out to be sort of a source of secular inspiration for me. I mean, the idea that if you want to get a look at how a man really is, take a look at how he treats his inferiors, his equals, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. All that sort of thing really taught me.
Hang upicus. I just cast a spell on you. Did it work?
Thank you, Diego. We appreciate the call, sir.
What's the spell?
Hang upicus.
Hang upicus.
Can we go to CJ, please, in Lake Forest on line 8? We haven't gotten into any food items. Usually, by the time you decide you hate a food, you just don't ever eat it again. But that was not the case for CJ.
Hey, CJ.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Beanley Smith.
Hi.
Hey. I hated mashed potatoes.
You hated mashed potatoes. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a texture thing, or you hated the taste?
No, with a passion. I couldn't stomach them. I didn't even like them on the table during Thanksgiving or Christmas. Hated them.
Wow.
And then what happened? How'd you end up changing your mind? Like, why did you ever try them again?
I think when I had kids and my mom made them and I was like, let me try those. And I had some butter with them and just like a whole brick of butter on top of them. And I was like, all right, kids, you can have
to. You put a brick of butter on anything, it's going to taste good, by the way.
So a brick of butter, that's what changed your mind.
Yeah, I hated the taste of them, the lumpiness. They tasted like milk. I didn't like it. It was gross.
They tasted like milk.
Some people put milk in their mashed potatoes.
That's right, very bad mashed potatoes.
They sure do.
Thank you for the call.
So these people, and you guys too, it doesn't mean you're not to be trusted, right? That's what it means. You're not to be trusted.
No, it means you can evolve.
No, it means you're not to be trusted.
It's okay to change your mind.
So you're wrong then or you're wrong now. Which is it?
Neither. They're both accurate at the time of your life.
What? It can't be both. If you, all of a sudden you love Journey now and you hated it before, you must have been wrong before, right?
I don't see it that way.
I bet you don't, because you can't be trusted.
All right.
You will see it that way, though, in about 6 months, apparently.
Is that it?
I don't know.
You might hit the button. Tell me. Talking sports with our friend Jim Rome, coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the Kevin and Bean hip-hop correspondent Jensen is going to be on with us in a few minutes, talking about the new Kendrick Lamar album, which is number one this week, by the way. But I have a lot of feelings about the Kendrick Lamar album. Hey, Allie?
Yes, Bean.
You sounded surprised that I was talking to you.
No, a little bit.
Are you busy? You doing something else?
No, good.
Pilots 2015, the year of ethnic castings. About time or too much of a good thing? This is an article from Deadline.com that has created quite a controversy in our town. Here's why. The shows with ethnic actors and actresses have become very popular on TV this past season. Shows like How to Get Away with Murder, which is a huge hit, Blackish, huge hit, Fresh Off the Boat, doing very well, Jane the Virgin, and of course, your favorite, Empire.
Love it.
So now what's happening, according to this reporter for this website, is that thanks to those huge ratings, all the other people who are making television now are scrambling to try to hire whatever available diverse actors they can find. Hey, find me a minority. Get me a minority for this role. And it is suggested in this article, I ask you not, that this is perhaps unfair for white actors who may not be able to get as much work on television.
Oh, Nellie. She's the author, by the way. Nellie, come on.
I can't believe it either. Ugh. So now a white man can't get a break in this economy anymore. What the hell is going on with this?
The man's holding them down, Bean.
Apparently
that's what's happening.
So. As you can imagine, this has created quite a firestorm of controversy, including Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. Here's what she tweeted when she saw the article. First reaction, hell no. Let me take off my earrings. Somebody hold my purse. Second reaction, this article is so ignorant, I can't even be bothered. So we wanted to find out, is it a legitimate complaint that white people can't get roles on TV anymore because of all of the black and Latino people? Or is it just, are we making too much out of nothing? What's the deal? So there's one person we go to whenever we have questions of this type, and he is our good friend Bruce Endicott, who has been a valuable resource to the Kevin and Bean Show over the years, and he joins us from Coffee on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Endicott. Thanks so much for coming on with us today, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. For some of our listeners who may not remember, Coffee stands for what, sir?
We are a social organization, and our main purpose is to bridge the gap between races, between the sexes, between sexual orientation. The actual name Coffee itself stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're an all-inclusive group, and we try here at Coffee, we try to explain to the other people exactly how these social politics should work.
Now, I'm sorry, when you say the other people, it makes it sound like you're not all inclusive. It sounds like you're maybe separate.
Those of us here in Coffee are all Caucasian, Protestant, upper class. But we think it's our duty to sort of extend the olive branch to those other people who are there.
Wow. Have you considered maybe some diversity within your own organization? Do you think that might help
We're
you kind of see things through?
Very diverse.
You are.
6 months ago, we just had a Jew. All right. So we're very happy.
Start.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the article that we just discussed from Deadline.com.
Yes, by all means. And here's the thing. We believe, really, as the name Coffee infers, for friendship enveloping everyone. And ordinarily, you know, what we do is we stand up for the cause of the minorities. But we have to be fair. And in this case, white people are getting the shaft. This article is absolutely right. How can a white person get a job on television anymore? When will a white person be able to get an acting gig? That's
but
what
Bruce,
we're asking about.
90, I don't have it in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet that 90% of the actors on television in primetime are white.
I beg to differ. The shows you talked about, Fresh Off the Boat, Blackish, How to Get Away with Murder, Empire. When is my son or daughter going to be able to look at a television screen and see a white face represented?
I think okay. 24 hours a day on any channel is a start for you, Bruce.
When will white people be able to see someone that they can recognize in film or television? I mean, it's so hard for whitey to get a job out there.
Okay, but Bruce, what's wrong with television showing more diverse stories about African-American families, about Asian families? I mean, those are legitimate dramatic stories as well.
Absolutely. But what about white families? When is a white family going to be represented on television? That's what we at Coffee are asking.
But if you're enveloping everyone with friendship, aren't you happy seeing maybe a Cristela on the air? You're enveloping.
I'm sure he or she, Cristela, whoever that
woman.
Is very talented, and I'm glad she has a job, but I don't want to see white people unable to get any work in Hollywood. It just breaks my heart. That's all I'm asking. A level playing ground is all we're asking for.
Okay, what about this? What about Andre on Empire? He's married to a white woman on the show. How about that?
One token white woman. Typical. Typical. They just throw in a random white person on the show, and it's just, really, I feel bad for white artists out there. And to try to correct the situation, we are proposing to many of the major networks some ideas for white TV shows that we think maybe should be on the air.
Apparently, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I'll listen to what you have to say, but it seems to me like there's certainly plenty of white faces represented.
Well, first of all, white face, that's just racially insensitive. No one performs in white face anymore. It's just inappropriate.
Okay,
but
that's
I think the series Blackish, how about Whitish?
Well, we don't need that. I mean,
oh,
no.
So How about Jewish?
No.
Oh, so you don't like the Jews? Is that how it is?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we don't need a TV show about Jews.
Fresh off the boat. How about Fresh off the Mayflower? Talking about families that go way back to the original founding fathers of this country.
I see. All right.
How to Get Away with Murder. I think a white version could be How to Get Away with Funding a Large Part of Your Income into Offshore Accounts.
That doesn't sound like a very exciting TV show.
Or for Empire, how about Umpire? Story of a white guy that works in Major League Baseball.
I'm in. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 4, Hozier in Slane Castle. By the way, he's the very talented young Irishman who sings that Take Me to Church song, if you don't know. He's going to be playing a K-Rock pre-Grammy party this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. We want you to be there, and we want you to be eligible to go see him in his homeland at Slane Castle. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll have to put you on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets in the most painful way possible. So call now if you want to go to Ireland to see Hozier, maybe.
And we're sorry what's about to happen to you.
We sure are.
That's not going to be fun for anyone. It's time for Thanks for That Info Bean.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Bean has really? Asperger's.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum, uh-huh, which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Right.
All right, look, you say that, and then I say I don't have Asperger's, right, and I should know.
But you do this absurd dance where you go, no, I know I tested 99% on the test, but I don't have it.
But here's the thing, guys. We work together, right, in an environment where we have conversation with, yes, one another. So if I'm bringing up things that are interesting to talk about at the water cooler,
right,
how does that warrant a segment?
Because they're not interesting to talk about at the water cooler. It's a swing and a miss. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. Lisa, in this edition of Thanks for Info Bean, yells at you. We're busy.
All right. What kinds of things are you talking about? Because I suspect I'm going to stand by everyone.
I know you will. And that's the bad part.
That's because you have Asperger's. You can't see it.
We're trying to tell you. Because I write these down verbatim, word for word, so that I can bring them back up. And then what we're trying to tell you is less of this.
Less of this. Okay. Yes. All right. I'm with you.
And we don't need more explanation, which is what you always try to do. So here is a typical Thanks for Info Bean. We're playing a commercial song or something. Bean says, I think I'm going to go visit Casey Kasem's grave.
Holy crap.
No one says anything, which is the big clue that whatever you're saying is getting no interest. And then you say, is this thing on?
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Honestly, Bean, if I said something and nobody said anything, it would be the biggest gigantic oh.
Right.
So you would buy a clue at that point.
Right. But you know what happens is you don't say those things because you know your audience.
That's
is it
the grave too. In Norway?
Yes. That's why. That's the double reason why I now have to go. It's in Norway, the country I love.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Man that I admire.
Don't care.
But
here's the thing. Don't care.
His kids don't even want to visit his grave.
That's right.
Shut up, Dave. Last review.
Here is another quote from Bean. I'm watching a video right now on how to make toast with only a cast iron skillet.
Thanks for That Info, Bean.
Well, now, we know that you're obsessed with toast.
Toast is my favorite food in the world.
Right. That's stupid.
I love toast.
But that's dumb, okay? But we also have told you in the past, we don't care that you love toast.
It's just toast.
It's toast.
We all know how to make toast.
So now you're telling us
what toast tastes like.
You're telling us that you're watching a video about how to make toast with just a cast iron skillet.
You know what? I could do that without watching a video. How's that?
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Right?
We all eat toast.
We don't care!
I thought you'd be interested to know that perhaps there's an alternate
Thanks
way to make
info
it.
Bean.
You okay. thought wrong.
I
That's
guess
what
so.
This segment should be called. You thought wrong.
You thought wrong.
The storm is crazy. He's talking about Juno. You know how much he loves the weather. The storm is crazy. Hey, do you guys think that 9 months from now a bunch of kids will be born and they'll all be named Juno?
Thank you, Dave. Info Bean.
No, I want the absurdity of that. What these statements of what
I
you're saying.
I wasn't trying to be funny, but thank you for the laugh.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
But I was serious.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
That's a problem.
But guys,
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Let me ask a question.
Don't need further clarification.
I'm not making clarification. I'm just asking a question. Don't you see people like their baby is conceived in Brooklyn, and they name the baby Brooklyn. The baby is conceived in Paris, like Michael Jackson.
We understand all of
well,
that.
Well, then why don't you think there'll be some Juno babies later this year?
If there are Juno babies, that's irrelevant and not important.
I find it interesting.
Right, that's the problem. Find it interesting quietly. I believe Taylor Swift's Twitter has been hacked. By the way, now he says that knowing. A, that I'm in the room and hate Taylor Swift.
Yes.
No, nobody shares his love of Taylor Swift.
I don't follow her.
So now he's giving us the live update of her Twitter being hacked. And nobody says anything after that. And Beat says, there's just random stuff on there, like, follow my friend, the lizard.
Yeah, so this is no before it had been reported by the press, right?
That's FOB.
News as it's right. happening live that I'm sharing
Here's
with you.
The thing. Let's say it's a given. Her Twitter is being hacked. I don't care.
Still don't care.
No.
So you say the red stuff like follow my friend Lizard. Nobody says anything. It's just not normal. Nobody says anything. It's not the stuff that she normally would tweet about. Do you think like on run 5, everybody's going to go, wow, that's interesting.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I don't want to say the queen is old. That's how a sentence started. But she's owned more than 31 corgis. This is where Lisa finally has had it with her. Lisa, the nicest person in the world, yells, "We're busy!" And look, you know what Lisa isn't? Busy. She's playing a game on her phone. She just wants you to shut the F up. And then you say, "Come on! She's old enough to have owned that many pets!"
Thanks for that info, Bean!
My favorite. Shut up. Here's my favorite.
What's your guys' take on the McDonald's fish filet?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so no one says anything. And then Bean says, do you guys get that? And nobody says anything. And then Bean follows that up with, and if you get it, do you like it?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Well.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
We're not going to give you an answer because we don't effing care.
Never are we going to give you an answer to that question.
Well, that seems unnecessarily harsh.
Thanks for that info, B.
Deny my dear.
Language. Come on, language, you guys.
It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ announcing World Tour 2015 destination number 2. How about this? Foo Fighters in Sydney, Australia.
Yes, please.
Okay. Right? You can listen to K-Rock all week long at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. for your chance to score tickets to see maybe the best band playing in the world today, the Foo Fighters, at one of their sold-out Southern California dates, and then get on the standby boarding list to see them in Sydney. That is a dream deal. Have it for you at 9 o'clock this morning. Details at krock.com. Ralph Graham, I'm glad you're here for this. You'll enjoy this very much. Isaac Mizrahi, you know who he is, right? Very popular fashion designer?
Sure, yeah.
He's got a regular slot on the QVC shopping network, and he and his co-host Sean Killinger sell dresses and clothes, not just stuff that he's designed, but stuff that he likes. And they got into a spirited discussion about science on a broadcast the other day.
Science!
A lot of people asking questions.
Gorgeous. Then look at this one. This is what we call emerald, but really it's more like a sea foam.
I love that color. That's such a happy, beautiful, rich experience.
It almost kind of looks like what the Earth looks like when you're a bazillion miles away from the planet moon.
Yes, I just squinted at it.
From the moon, looking back at the Earth.
From the planet moon.
Okay, so Sean says a gazillion miles away from the planet moon.
That's how far we are from the planet moon.
Nobody says the planet moon.
Nobody
says that.
Nobody says the planet moon. That's why Isaac calls her out on it, right? Says the planet moon.
From the planet
Isn't the moon a star?
No, the moon is the planet, darling.
The sun is a star.
Okay.
Oh, boy. These two geniuses now are going to go into it, aren't they?
So Sean went from the planet moon to isn't the moon a star? But Isaac, thank God Isaac is there because he can set her straight. Because, you idiot, obviously it's not a star.
It's a planet.
It's a planet. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Is the moon really a planet?
The moon is a planet.
Don't
honey.
Look at me like that. The sun is
a
star.
A planet.
Is the sun not a star?
I don't know what the sun
is. The sun is a star.
We don't know what
isn't
the
it?
Sun is.
Oh, man.
We don't know what the sun is.
This is sixth grade science.
Yes. I mean, look, there's no excuse for being confused about the moon. Nobody should think the moon is a star or a planet. But at a minimum, you should know that the sun is a star, right?
Right. Yes.
At a minimum.
That's scary. They're dumb.
The sun is a star. The moon is not
the
a planet.
Moon
I
is
knew
a
it.
Planet.
I knew it.
Excuse
you were trying
me?
To take me down that road.
Wait,
the moon is not a planet.
Me, Chunky,
he said
if you're listening to me,
this
you
is
have
Rosebud.
To Google the moon.
Someone,
okay?
I can guarantee you someone's Googling right now.
By the way, he has an assistant who works on his QVC show named Chunky. So they are now, by the way, they know they're on TV, right?
Well, look, it's QVC. There's a lot of time to fill.
They're trying to entertain and educate, clearly.
That's true. This, I forgot. On QVC, sometimes you've got 8 minutes on this item, and you've got to wait 8 minutes till the clock runs out, right? So now Chunky is Googling.
Oh, Isaac Chunky.
Isaac Mizrahi is convinced that he is going to show up his co-host and prove that the moon is a planet.
The moon is such a planet.
I can't even stand it.
The moon is not a planet.
What else is it if it's not a planet?
It is not. I believe it's a star or
something.
Oh, my God.
It's
a
moon. It's a star or something, she demanded. Come on, stupid people shouldn't be this stupid.
She called it the planet moon to begin with.
But she thought she misspoke, and then she corrected herself by saying it wasn't a moon, a planet.
Making you crazy.
And then Isaac Mizrahi defended the planetness of the moon.
Are they making you crazy, Lisa?
A little crazy.
There was a time in my life.
It is so a planet.
where I would have been incensed by this.
Incensed?
Is that the word? Is that not the word?
That's the word.
You would have been incensed?
Incensed by this. Incensed. I would have lit candles that smelled good. But the older I get, the more I think that maybe you don't need to know everything. And maybe a fashion designer who's worth $100 billion, whatever Isaac Mizrahi is, maybe it doesn't matter if he knows what the moon is.
It does matter because he lives on the planet.
Right, but why
is it
would
a planet?
He... I would say why would
Earth is a
but
planet.
But is it a planet or a star?
Earth is a planet.
I think it is so
Chunky.
A star.
Yes, Chunky.
And it's killing me.
Chunky, Google Earth. We didn't see what we get.
All right, let's see what Chunky came up with.
It's a
didn't
moon.
You do that thing in grade school where you it's had to name moon. The planets and there was Uranus and there was Saturn and the one with the rings and and then the Earth and with the...
By the way, don't say Uranus around Isaac Mizrahi, first of all.
The moon is never in there, dude. It's not a planet.
I love, by the way, that it's actually turned into a bar fight at this point. Like, she's really angry with him at this point.
And also, don't say Saturn and the one with the rings, because Saturn is the one with the rings.
And she did call him dude, which was unexpected as well.
All right, here, look, this is key lime.
I don't know. I don't know
like
what it is besides
though
what is it,
I am
baseball
educated,
or something?
I exposed
what is
during
it,
the
cheese?
Show.
Come on, it's a planet.
That this blonde of mine could be real.
Okay.
The moon is what?
A natural
the moon
satellite.
Is a natural
but
satellite.
Things live on
What's
it. That means
mean?
It's a planet.
Things
okay.
live
what?
On it.
What lives
okay.
on
Things
okay.
live on
okay.
it.
Look, I'm not great at this stuff, and I would have been confused about the moon. I know about the star, but the moon, I would have been like, I don't know, maybe.
It's a moon.
I don't know. It's a moon.
It's
but
a,
I know nothing lives
category.
On it.
Moons are their own thing.
I haven't thought about it in 100 years, but what lives on it?
You
what
know,
lives on the moon,
the
exactly?
The moon men, Lisa.
Now, is his...
The cheesy what, moon men.
The people that grow the cheese.
Now, why did he bring that up? It's almost like he brought that up as some sort of part of his argument that it was, in fact, a planet because people live on the moon, so it has to be a planet? Is that what Isaac Mizrahi thinks?
Did he say that or she say that?
He said that.
He said it. Hold on. Let me go back. Hang on.
A natural
the
satellite.
A natural
but
satellite.
Things live on
yeah,
it
things
because
live
it's
on
a
it.
Planet.
Things live on it, so that means it's a planet. So in his mind, the moon is not only a planet, but it is inhabited.
Yes.
So things live on all the other planets as well?
I guess
according
so.
To Isaac Mizrahi, if that's where you're getting your science, yes, Isaac Mizrahi. All right, are they going to come to some sort of a conclusion on this?
I don't
is that
know.
What Google said?
I don't know what
no,
it
I don't
says.
Like that at all. I don't even
Me
know what
either.
That means.
She doesn't like what Google's response is, by the way.
She doesn't know what it means?
Doesn't like it, doesn't know what it
what,
is, doesn't like it.
A natural satellite, she doesn't know what that means.
Yes. Yes, apparently.
Oh, sweet
apparently.
Jesus.
I do. I use Google all the time. I feel bad. I feel bad for Yahoo because they're really good, too. I just don't use them.
Wow.
Okay, listen. 1,500 of these hot picks ordered. Oh, the poor audience.
Yes, the poor audience indeed. I do feel better about our show.
Did this end in a mutual suicide pact?
That's where it ended. They just moved on. Let's see. I think they just moved on to the next dress.
Don't forget that if you want to tune in for this madness come March, you'll have to tune in an hour earlier because Isaac is moving to 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's
but
right.
back to the cardigan.
I don't know what kind of response he got from his listeners, but the moon is a planet that people live on. Or it's a star. It's one of those two. That's what I learned from watching QVC.
And that's a cute cardigan.
And what were the cardigans doing on that show?
This news that Ralph brought us yesterday during showbiz has made me reevaluate my whole life. I thought I had a pretty good deal going with my wife. I thought we had a romance. We're nothing compared to Kim and Kanye. I mean, that's the greatest romance of our time, right?
Well, none of us are.
None of us can compete with the love that those two share, with how much Kim loves Kanye and Kanye loves Kim and Kanye loves Kanye and Kim loves Kim.
Yeah.
They have every combination covered, don't they?
Kanye released a new song called Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Kim being awesome.
Because, baby, you're awesome. So awesome. You look too good to be at work. You feel too good to ever hurt. I hope you're ready for tonight. I'm going to cook you with dessert. You can't be still. I got to move. I got to dance. I got to live. I got to love. I got to hope. I got a chance. Because, baby, you're awesome.
I have a question. Auto.
Why is he going to cook her a dessert?
Yeah, that's number
cook
one.
Cook her a dessert.
I was wondering about that too.
But B, you can't really hear that because of the auto tune.
Remember when he was good?
Turn it down.
Remember when he rapped, auto-tune. You guys?
Yes.
And he was amazing. Remember that?
He went through that phase a few years ago with the 808 and Heartbreak. Was that the album he had a lot of auto-tune on?
I think
that was a good album, some good songs. But I thought, okay, now you've had your experimental auto-tune album. Now it's time to go back to what makes Kanye great. But no, he's not letting go of the auto-tuning.
Oh, by the way, Kim's not the only one that is awesome.
Oh, really? Baby, I'm awesome.
Kanye is awesome.
Okay. Also. I'm also awesome. Also. I'm also awesome.
Okay, you're awesome. We got it, guys.
Y'all don't know.
But let me ask you guys this. Maybe this is a ridiculous question, but because we're talking about an egomaniac. Even if you sincerely, as Kanye seems to, think that you are a genius and you think that you are awesome.
Right.
Don't you have some sort of filter that alerts you that if I put out a song where I'm singing about how awesome I am, I'm just going to come across as a jackass?
Well, I think that's what people have thought now for how long has it been? 2 years? 3 years since he's been on I'm a Genius kick?
Yeah. How do you, with a straight face, put out a song that lists all the ways you're awesome?
I want to believe this is fake.
You do?
I want to believe it's so bad because you can't be this bad.
Good news for you. We have Kanye on the line.
Oh.
We're going to be able to check if it's real or not. Kanye, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Kanye, it's not necessary for you to have auto-tune. We're just having a phone conversation. It's just a radio interview, sir.
I'm going to cook you a big interview because I'm awesome.
You certainly do think you're awesome. Well, what about that? What about people who say, wow, why don't you get more full of yourself, Kanye? Why don't you dial it back a little bit? I mean, it does seem like you're overstating your opinion here.
But I'm a genius.
Right, okay.
Also.
Right, also.
I'm a genius, I'm a genius. I have a penis.
Right.
That did rhyme. Good.
Hot dogs are weenies.
Okay. You're just putting...
And I'm a genius.
Okay.
Also, too.
You're a genius, right? You say to your wife in the lyrics of the song, you don't need to listen to your manager. You way too hot for them to handle you. That doesn't seem like wise advice, Kanye.
But I'm a genius.
Right.
And I'm awesome. And her dad is going to be a woman.
What does that have to do with... What does that have to do with anything, Kanye?
Just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Now, I don't want to bring this up, Allie. I'm going to let you run your theory by Kanye about his new song.
Kanye, are you punking us? Is this real? You can't honestly believe this.
No.
I think maybe this might be a good time to...
Due to mature adult content, parental discretion is advised.
Maybe throw a couple of warnings up for the kids.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
How about one more for good...
We must warn you, some of the subject matter of this story is on the mature side.
All right, how about just this one, though, to close it out?
The American Humane Association monitors the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
I don't think that's technically true.
Yeah, I don't know if that one's true or not.
I have to warn you... Some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
All right.
Please ask your children to leave the room.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Phil. There's a film festival that I think everyone has heard about by this point that goes on in Park City, Utah every year. It's called the Sundance Film Festival, very popular. And then a few years ago, what sprung up nearby is the Slam Dance Festival. And this is films that are a little on the esoteric side, it's kind of an alternative festival that goes on. Maybe movies that didn't make the Sundance, they make the Slam Dance. And this is where you see some of the curiouser films of the year. And the one that got all the chatter this year is called Dolphin Lover.
See, I already don't like it. I'm already out.
Dolphin Lover is the story of a man who is now 63 years old. His name is Michael Brenner. And he talks about the romantic encounters that he had back in the early 1970s in a water park with a dolphin named Dolly. A few years ago, wrote a book, Kevin, about his experiences with Dolly. The name of that book was Wet Goddess.
Come on! That happened?
He claims that the relationship was consensual and lasted for over a year. By the way, in case you're wondering, obviously this happened back in the 1970s, so the statute of limitations would have expired on any kind of criminal charges against the man. But in addition to that, bestiality was not illegal in the great state of Florida until 2011.
What? Are you kidding? Bestiality was okay in Florida until four years ago.
Yes.
Wow. Right.
So in 1971, when he and Dolly were doing it, there would have been nothing anybody could do anyway, although I suspect he could have been fired. He says there's something quite transcendental about making love with the dolphin. The dolphin The dolphin is very aware. The dolphin is an intelligent and creative creature, and making love is a consummate act. Here's a little bit of the trailer of Dolphin Lover.
This is Florida, land of flowers, orange groves, beaches, gunfights, riding porpoises.
I first discovered Florida land as a tourist, being taken there by my parents in the mid-1960s. I remember shooting some home movies, seeing the dolphins splashing around in their pool, the Indian fire eater, the Western shootout, all the tacky treats that they had there. Florida land was one of the last vestiges of old Florida, which has now basically completely disappeared.
It's the porpoise pool, and what a great playmate he's found.
The dolphin show entailed a lot of things that you don't see in dolphin shows anymore.
I'll say.
Sex. Like dolphins wearing floppy hats or dressing up in hula hoops.
What?
My name is Malcolm J. Brenner, and this is the story of how I fell in love with Dolly the Dolphin.
All right, so he's attracted to the dolphin, and he gets a job working at the theme park. And then he waits for his moment when he's alone with the dolphin or when other people aren't looking, and he sneaks off with the dolphin.
Nope.
And then they do that. In another interview, Mr. Brenner says it's like being with a tiger or a bear. This is an animal that could kill you in 2 seconds if it wanted to. That's a surprise to me. I didn't know that a dolphin could kill you like that. The film was well received by its audience in Utah, by the way. Nobody walked out, the article notes. The sexy time between him and Dolly the dolphin is animated in the movie, and he describes the sex animation as beautiful. It is oddly accurate without being graphic or vulgar, although some animators did turn down the project once they discovered the controversial content of the film. By the way, this is going to sound all too familiar with so many of these stories of sex after the fact, Kevin, but he claims that he was not the aggressor, that it was Dolly who came after him.
All right, here's my question.
He resisted her for several months, Kevin, but she was persistent, the little slut.
You can't say no forever.
he's just a man.
Don't we hear stories, it seems like every once in a while, of a dolphin trying to have sex with a human? Like attacking and trying to
make
it happen.
Yes, we have heard stories like that.
So this guy is only human and he had to finally give in.
Apparently so. Would you be interested in hearing his description about the first time they had sex together?
No way, man. Holy freaking God.
I'm going to put you in the yes column then. Here's Michael Brenner.
I slipped into the water with her. She wouldn't come anywhere near me, of course. Dolphins are usually suspicious of strange people. She stayed on the other side of the pen, And then the assistant trainer began urging me to swim out, to take the first move, you know, to be bold, you know. So I struck out to the middle of the pen and sort of chased her around for a while. And finally, we ended up in the shallows.
By the way, it sounds to me like he's changing his story a little bit. It sounds to me like he's going after her at this point.
Yeah, this story makes me just cringe.
Oh, it doesn't get any better.
Very slowly, she came to the point where I could reach out and touch her. I started rubbing her forehead. She seemed to enjoy that.
All right.
So I started rubbing her along her back.
Okay.
And working my way towards her flukes, her tail.
All right.
And as I was rubbing her and moving my hand towards her tail, Dolly was slowly rolling around her long axis.
All right. Is anyone getting too turned on? Do I need to stop? Is it too exciting?
I don't think it's too exciting, but I need someplace to puke.
So that by the time that I got midway down her body, I was rubbing her belly instead of rubbing her back. And she swam forward a little bit so that I was rubbing her slit, and then she stopped moving. And I thought, oh, this is embarrassing.
No,
I just didn't think that was the kind of show that you know, parents would be bringing their kids to Florida land to see.
No, I don't think so either. In case you're wondering, by the way, at one point Dolly was transferred to another theme park far away, so Michael lost touch with her, but she died less than a year later, and Michael says it's because she died of a broken heart. So there you go. That's the relationship of Mr. Brenner, 63 years old, and his former girlfriend, a bottlenose dolphin named Dolly, back in 1971. And the movie is called Dolphin Lover, if you want to seek that out. But why would you really?
No. No.
I'm with him.
Mm-mm.
I'm with him.
No.
Nope.
No. 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 No.
Right.
No.
No.
Hell no. 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 No.
One of our listeners just checked in to ask about the dolphin lover, wondering if that affair happened by accident or if it was on purpose. Now, we don't generally put listeners in the file, but in Matt Liff's case, we should, right?
Let's put him in the file.
I think, Matt, I think you're going into the file. Would you like to take that back, file?
At some point in the future, we're going to call you and we're going to ask you if you'd like to take that back.
And then you're going to have a chance. It's going to be your day of reckoning, my friend. What a night the UFC has planned for us this Saturday with Alexander Gustafsson fighting and Dan Henderson and Phil Davis and Anthony Johnson. What a great card. Our friend Joe Rogan is in Stockholm for that. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph was talking yesterday about an amazing experience that some tourists in Philadelphia had, his hometown, where they did, like lots of tourists do, and they run up the steps of, what is it? Is it the library? Museum of Art? Which one is it?
I don't actually know.
Sure. I think it's the Museum of Art. Anyway, you run up to the top of the steps like Rocky did in the original Rocky movie when he was training. And they get up to the top of the stairs, and who's up there waiting for him but Sylvester Stallone himself?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's
awesome. The
actor
who played Rocky. I mean, it just must have been so surreal for them because obviously they got Rocky on the brain as they run up there, and then there's Rocky standing at the top of the thing. So they all took a picture together, and they walked away thinking, this is the greatest tourist experience ever. And you may be wondering, Sylvester Stallone doesn't just hang out up there. He's up there because he's scouting locations for yet another Rocky movie. This one is called Creed. And we wanted to find out more about that, so we asked Dave, hey, could we get Sly back on the phone? I believe Mr. Stallone joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Sly. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing, you know?
We're good.
Good.
We're
doing... I'm good. You're good. Because I'm good, too.
Okay. Well, that was an awesome thing that you did for those tourists in Philadelphia the other day when you took a photo with them at the top of the stairs there.
Well, I was just there, you know. I was already there. And then they were running up the steps. So I was like, yo, you guys are running, you know. You make me look bad, you know. You're so fast. And so they're like, hey, you're Rocky. So, you know, we took a photo. And then it's like, you know, what are you doing? I said, what? I can't be in Philadelphia? You want to fight the fight? I'll fight the big fight. Come on.
Well, I mean, it is.
I'm going to fight all three of them, you know?
It is sort of weird to see a movie star at the scene of where the movie was filmed.
Yeah, well, you know, we're making a new movie.
Right.
About Apollo, you know, Apollo's grandson, Creed, you know?
Creed, okay. Uh-huh. Are you in this?
Yeah, you know, Rocky Balboa, you know, is a character that I play.
Right.
He'll be training Apollo's grandson, whose last name, by the way, is Creed.
Right, that's why it's named Creed.
Yes. That didn't even dawn on me. That's amazing. What is the coincidence that those two things have come together? It's something I can't believe it, you know?
Yes. So are you at the stage of the films now where you're the old wisecracking guy with advice like Paulie was to you back in the early Rocky films?
Whoa. Hold on here. You know, I'm talking to you, trying to be nice, give you an interview and everything. You're going to be all rude?
No, I'm not being rude,
but... You're going to be old? You're going to be the old guy, you know?
Well, you're 65 years old.
You're going to be like Fat Paulie was in the other movies, all drunk and fat,
you know? Well,
you
didn't say drunk or fat.
I didn't say drunk or fat. I just meant...
Paulie was. That's a point there, right?
Okay, he was.
That's
a different movie altogether.
Friday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. The ladies from Broad City, Abby and Alana, will be here next hour. Very excited about that. And Ralph, your old friend from Philadelphia, Ryan Phillippe, is going to be joining us on the program later as well.
Go Birds!
That's right, man. All right, scientific survey. We've got listeners on the phone right now. They do not know why they are calling, but they're going to help us. I suspect that we're going to need a verdict on this story, Ralph. We have not discussed this off the air yet, but if I know you, I have a feeling that you and I will come down on very different sides of this.
How dare you?
And Allie, I don't know where you're going to come down on this, but this story does come out of Massachusetts. Are you familiar with the town of Taunton?
Sure.
Taunton, Massachusetts?
Sure.
It's about 30 miles south of Boston, as I understand, and there's a case that's going on right now about a guy named Kashukumar Patel. And Mr. Patel has an exercise regimen where he likes to get up in the morning and he likes to work out in his home, as many people do, with dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
He prefers to work out nude.
Sure.
That's his thing.
Don't we all?
He also prefers to work out in front of his glass door.
Yes.
In his home.
Yes, to get the sunshine, vitamin D.
That's exactly what it is, Ralph. The reason he works out in front of the glass door is because he enjoys the feel of sun on him while he works out.
Don't we all?
Now, there are others in the town of Taunton who aren't as keen on Mr. Patel's workout regimen in the morning.
Hmm.
And in fact, he has been arrested on a charge of indecent exposure.
What?
Now, I am outraged by this. And I know that there are those who will say, hey, buddy, if you've got glass windows, first of all, don't throw stones.
Right. But don't throw boners either.
Right. If you've got glass windows, or in his case, a glass door, maybe cover that. To which I say, don't look. I'm in my house. If I want to walk around naked or exercise in my house or watch TV in my house naked or eat in my house or whatever I want to do naked in my house, I don't think I'm responsible for you not looking into my house. Here's what happened is a school bus went by and the kids saw him exercising naked in front of the door and they informed the bus driver. The bus driver informed the school department. They told the police. The next morning, police set up surveillance equipment in front of the man's house, saw nothing and left. Around 10 o'clock, a neighbor in the area called the police to report that the man was once again exercising naked in his own house. Police showed up and arrested him for indecent exposure. He was holding the two dumbbells in his hands and jumping up and down in front of the door. He stated that he likes exercising naked in the sunlight.
The problem is he's lying. That's the problem.
He's an exhibitionist, and he's getting off on people seeing him.
Yes.
If he really wanted to exercise in the sunlight, take a few steps and go in your backyard.
Right. The fact he's doing it in front of a pane of glass
that
can be easily viewed from the street?
Yeah.
This is not about exercise or sunshine. This is about this guy. Hey, look at my wang.
Yep.
See, now, that never occurred to me.
Oh,
that he could be an
what's wrong with you?
It never occurred to me.
You mean it never occurred to you that the naked guy who's posing in front of the window that has a view from the street might be an exhibitionist? That didn't occur to you?
It didn't occur to me. I thought, here's a guy who likes the feel. Look, some people just like the feel of being naked. Some people like walking around naked inside their house. This guy likes the feel of being naked, whatever he's doing. In this case, he's exercising. And he also likes the warmth of the sun. Who doesn't? I think you ought to be allowed to be naked in your own house. And I think
it's not about being naked in your own house. He can do that. I can do that. It's wonderful. I am not going to stand in front of a glass door and pretend it's about getting sunlight on me.
All right.
Who holds dumbbells and jumps, by the way? Since when is that an exercise?
I don't know anything about exercise.
Unless
is that not how you do it?
You're nuts to be jangling for everyone to take a look at.
All right. Well, let me ask you. Let me say this then. All right.
Jangling nuts, by the way, at the True this weekend. Great band.
What if I agree with you and say, okay, maybe he is an exhibitionist? I still say you should be allowed to stand in front of a glass door or window and be naked inside your own house.
Yeah,
I still
say
the onus
great,
is on the.
Except it's against the law.
But it's on the other people outside the house to not look into your home, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not.
I think it's on those people.
You can't be nude on display through a glass pane that's visible from public view. You just can't do that. That's the definition of indecent exposure.
No, I think indecent exposure is if he opens that door, walks outside onto a public street, and then starts walking down the street.
Okay,
naked.
So you need a sheet of glass. To make it not indecent exposure,
no,
is what
you're
saying.
You need to be in your own house.
But he's not
in
his house. He's right at the window showing off his goods.
He's in his home. You should be allowed to be as naked as you want to be in your
own house. Just back
away
from the window. It's all he has to do. How many times does this guy have to be visited by the police before he backs away from the window?
Go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Get a sheer curtain.
Right.
You're still going to get the sun through, and you can get a coupon.
There you go, Hammurabi.
All right. Why isn't this on the people who are going by the street out in front of his house to just not look?
Because
why is it on Mr. Patel?
There's a bus of kids going by. You got to tell the kids, "Oh, just don't look."
I'm telling
They're
everybody
children.
Just don't look. Don't They're... look into somebody else's house and then complain about what you see them doing in their house on their property.
You know what? These people aren't going up to the window and cupping their eyes and saying, "Oh, is he in the kitchen? Is he making toast naked again?" He's got his balls out in the window.
I don't like it.
You're a pervert.
I don't like it.
It never dawned on me that he was being an exhibitionist.
But even if he is, I'm saying it's still on the people outside the house. It's not on him. He's not going up to a school and exposing himself. He's in his house, and the kids are going by his house and looking at him, and now he's to blame? Wrong, sir.
You're just a fool.
1-800-520-1067. Let's take some calls. It's a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
I don't know how we determined this. Math may not be our strong suit, but we decided that five calls is all you need to decide any argument, and then it's for real,
yes.
Right? It's official, and it can't be argued. So
right.
Let's just take them in order. We'll start with Steve. Please chip on line one. Steve calls us from Azusa. Steve, who's at fault here, the man who's exercising naked in his own house or the perverts who are insisting on looking at him from the street?
It is his fault. This is actually a choice that he is making by doing this exercise in front of the glass. The kids are going to school. That is not a choice that they're making. It's a choice he is making.
Steve.
Amen, Steve.
Right-thinking American. God bless you.
So Steve says no for Mr. Patel. Thank you so much for the call, sir. We appreciate you listening and holding on. Brandon is up next. He is on line two in Los Angeles. Hey, Brandon, what's going on, dude?
Hey, the guy's a perv. Being your dick.
Why is the guy a perv? He's in his own house exercising.
This isn't about arguing, Bean. This isn't about arguing. This is
all
about
right,
the scientific survey.
That's two for the kids. So Alyssa, who's in Santa Clarita on line three, she may be the last call we need to take.
That's
this could
right,
be settled
be.
Unanimously. Alyssa, what say you, please?
I say he's a shower. Those children don't need to be seeing that on their way to school. He's obviously just looking to show off his wang.
Thank you,
Amen.
Alyssa.
Wow.
Right-thinking American.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad I don't see the worst in everybody in the whole world like you guys
do.
Oh,
can you imagine what's going on up at the island at Bean's window? I do not want to be on that island.
Well, it sounds like me and Mr. Patel are going to be over here being naked without you.
I love the sunshine on my wang.
Thanks for calling, guys.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Allie McKay.
Bean.
When you woke up this morning, you had no idea that it was going to be the best day of your life, did you?
I had hoped, but I didn't have a lot of faith.
Well, congratulations. Today's your day.
Allie, meet Doto. Doto, meet Allie. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babes!
Kevin and Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin and Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Woo! And now the further adventures of Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Doto, who joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin Bean, how's it going? It's been a while, Bean. I told Dave that I was looking at the LAPD because they have a job fair.
All right, hold on. Whoa. Slow your roll there, player.
We're not at the LAPD yet, Doe, but we are going to get there. Say hi to Allie McKay first. I don't think you've met Allie, have you?
Well, hi, Allie. How are you doing?
Doing great, Doto. How are you?
Good. You're good. Yeah.
Okay. Doe, I just because I know you're too shy to ask right out of the gate. She is not 5'7 or 5'8. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. So she's not going to be right for you.
I wasn't going to ask that, Kevin Bean. I was kind of sad, Kevin Bean, that the one of the famous public figure died yesterday, Kevin Bean, in Southeast Asia.
A famous public figure died yesterday, Doe? Who was that?
Yeah. It was with the guy, Singapore.
Singapore. I remember him well, yeah.
The guy Singapore? What are you talking about, Doe?
Yeah, but I thought he ruled the country with an iron fist. He came from nothing and brought the country to economic prosperity, and he died at 91. I thought that's kind of pretty sad, right, Kevin Bean, that someone with that type of talent passed away, right, Bean?
Well, he was 91 years old, and it sounds like he had a pretty good and a pretty productive life.
Yeah, but what he did is he promoted clean government, clean environment, and no corruption. So it's almost like a totalitarian society. At least that works in that society, right, Kevin Bean?
Well, I don't know if you ever should rule with an iron fist, Doto. I still believe democracy is the best form of government.
Yeah, that makes sense, Bean.
That's right, actually
I'm
Ralph.
I'm Ralph. That was Ralph. Well, that's okay.
Well, listen,
Bean,
Doe.
If I go to Seattle, Bean, do you mind if I visit you 7 days a week, Bean?
No. Hell yes.
Can we pay for that?
That's exactly what he wants you to do, Doe.
I insist,
7 days a week.
I insist on it, first of all. But hold on a second. Dave told me that are you in Portland, Oregon right now?
Yeah, I'm there for a few days with my cousin.
Why are you in Portland? Just visiting family? That's it?
Yeah, because I like the green, Kevin Bean. I like the environment. It's more calmer.
It's more calmer.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to drive to Seattle. You know I'm only 2.5 hours from you.
I never drive to Seattle. I flew, Kevin Bean, United Airlines.
Right, but what I'm saying is you're already in Portland. You can either drive or fly, but come up and see me this week. Let's hang out, Doe. I'll show you around town.
I didn't know you live in Portland, Bean. I thought you lived in Seattle, man.
He does, Doe. He just mentioned the fact that you would have to travel from Portland to Seattle to see him, but he wants you to come visit.
And, yeah, sure. I like that, Bean.
That was Ralph again. All right, Doe, let's talk about what's on your mind. You have decided, after years of telling us that you hope to make it in the entertainment industry.
What I'm saying, I thought I still like to do entertainment, but I thought that the LAPD doesn't hurt to look into it, right? Right? Because a couple of weeks ago they had a job there, and I guess I was looking into it, and is it very, very selective, Bean, to get into that stuff? Is it pretty easy, Bean?
Oh, no, they'll just take anyone.
Yeah.
The LAPD is a
great pathway to the entertainment industry. A lot of people do go that route.
Yeah, but Kevin, I thought in the LAPD, I thought it's kind of pretty dangerous out there, Kevin Bean, because I thought I don't know who I'm going to be dealing with, right?
Oh, yes. Police work is dangerous, Doto. Of course it is. Yes. That seems to be obvious, right?
So, hang on a second here. Why are you on a twin career path of law enforcement and stand-up comedy? Why are you approaching both of those at the same time? What's happening?
I don't know, because sometimes I might have too much anxiety on my mind, Bean. I like to do stuff, but I just have to focus on which one's better.
Okay, what is it about being a police? Look, there's nothing wrong with being a police officer. It's a very honorable profession. We are grateful for the people and the fine work that the men and women of the LAPD do for us. We're glad that people want to be cops. But why do you think that's a job that's well suited for you, Doto?
But Bean, what type of test would I be doing, to be honest, Bean? What type of test would they be looking for?
There's a physical test. You're going to have to pass that. First of all, there's I would assume a psychiatric test you would have to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what type of question would they be asking on the psychiatric test?
Have you ever killed anyone,
no,
or thought about killing anyone?
And then are they going to do like credit card?
You skipped that answer. Yeah. I noticed.
Have you ever had thoughts about killing someone, Doto?
No. Are they going to do like credit card report checks, all that, Kevin Bean?
I mean, I think they would do a standard background check. Yeah, they would want to know what your financial situation was, in addition to your family situation, your psychiatric situation, and your physical. Absolutely. They want to know everything about you to make sure that you're well-rounded and healthy and in a good space to take on that kind of stressful job, I think.
But, That's just a thought, Kevin Bean. That's something that at least I can look into. At least it doesn't hurt, you know, Kevin Bean.
Are you thinking about being a police officer simply because they had a job fair?
No.
Is it just anyone had a job fair, you'd be interested in that career?
No.
So in other words, if he drove by NASA, Ralph, he might think, hey, I should be an astronaut, Kevin DeBean.
CAA, come down to the interview. Maybe just be a spy.
I looked it up for you, Doe, and there is no maximum age limit on applying for a job with the LAPD.
Of course I know that, Kevin Bean. I'm not blind, Bean.
Well, I didn't know that until I looked it up. I thought maybe you were too old to be a cop, but you're not.
But at least it doesn't hurt to look. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it, Kevin Bean. At least it doesn't hurt to look into different opportunities, right, Kevin Bean?
Do you think you'd like to be out on the street protecting citizens from crime in a uniform as a LAPD officer?
I'm kind of skeptical. I've never done that from childhood to now. So
from childhood to now, you've never been a police officer before?
Not even when
you were like a toddler.
Didn't you
never dabbled in police work even as a teen?
I never worked in any type of police work, to be honest.
Oh, I'm surprised. Most of us have.
But I love to do it.
Most of us experimented a little bit in middle school.
I love to ask questions about Steven Seagal.
Of course you would.
Well, that's what the LAPD is looking for. Right. All right. So listen, Doe, we're almost out of time, but here's what I've come up with. Here's my takeaway from this conversation is this week you're going to drive to Seattle and we're going to hang out and I'm going to show you around the town. We're going to do that. That's going to happen, right?
Really? I'm driving to Seattle, Bean?
Yes. You're in Portland. We're a couple of hours away. I want you to come up and visit with me. Why not, Doe?
That could work, Kevin. That could work, Bean.
Okay.
It could work. I hope it does work.
And then when you get back, you're going to go down to the LAPD and you're going to fill out their forms and see where it takes you. See, there's, like you said, there's no harm in trying, right, Doe?
But I really like to do interviews, like entertainment, you know, talk show, Bean.
We have offered you 1,000 opportunities to do that and you never come through. Mm. Doe?
Yeah.
How many times has Dave said to you, come down to the station and we'll...
Dave said, you know what, just get Dave said, if you want to succeed, just get your butt out there, right?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to Officer Toe myself personally. I think this could be a new calling for you, and this could be the right peg in the right hole finally for you, Goto.
Yeah, you know, I think time's going to tell, Kevin, and it's kind of too hard to say. I think I'm with you.
That's an excellent point, and I think we'll leave it there. Doe, I'll see you soon, my friend. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Bachelor Report coming up with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman at 8 o'clock. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, we want to get you tickets to Imagine Dragons at the Troubadour. Plus, you'll go into the Friday Morning Join to go on tour with the band. You can get those details at krock.com. All I know is every day, Lisa and I come in and we're trying to talk about anything else, but Kevin insists on talking about the Ukraine because you apparently are just obsessed with that conflict going on. Can you explain it to us just briefly, Kevin? Because I'm having trouble tracking with it.
No, I can't. But I can tell you that the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, they think has Asperger's. That was published in the USA Today.
That is fascinating.
And the reason that is interesting, and I don't, I mean, it's always dangerous when somebody diagnoses somebody from afar.
Right.
The people who have come to this conclusion haven't met with Vladimir Putin. They just look at his style. They just look at the way he runs things. And this Ukraine thing, by the way, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, that's what we may end up going to war over Ukraine. Because President Putin, I mean, basically he doesn't care what the rest of the international community thinks about. That's why he's able to, even at great peril to him and his nation, that's why he's able to go do crazy things because he just is either unaware or doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks about. And they're saying that may be one indicator that Asperger's is what's going on with this dude.
I find social situations difficult. I like to have a, let me read just a couple of them.
Okay.
I prefer to do things on my own rather than with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I find it difficult to make new friends. It upsets me greatly if my daily routine is disturbed.
Yes.
I don't know how to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored.
Those are
I'm
all
obsessed with maps
that I have heard about people who have Asperger's. I don't personally know anyone
when
who has
When I talk,
Asperger's.
It isn't always easy for others to get a word in edgewise.
All right. That's fine. Well, let's find out from President Putin himself what he thinks about this theory. Is it possible that they have diagnosed him, or is it just ridiculous chatter? President Putin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Kevin and Bean, how are you today?
We are good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. Are you riding a horse with your shirt off again like you always are every time we talk to you?
I am not doing that today.
Okay.
No, today I have to go have a meal. Every Tuesday, I go to Deniski's.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Tuesday is Deniski Day.
That's unbelievable. I didn't even know you had Deniski's there in Russia.
Yes, that's... it's my favorite. Well, I hope my seat is available, or else I will have someone put to death.
But you don't go on Monday or Wednesday?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
No, Wednesday is International House of Pancakes.
Okay. So you're telling me that when you walk in, you get visibly and physically upset if somebody's sitting in your preferred seat.
Oh, I have to have my particular seat at Deniski's, or else I put someone to death and put them in gulag.
Well, see, I don't have that advantage of being able to do the whole put-to-death thing, but I like where you're coming from there, sir.
I'm sure you do.
So do you think that maybe this does, if you really do have the Asperger's, do you think that maybe that makes you a poor choice to lead a nation where basically, you know, we live in a small world where you pretty much have to, you know, pay attention to what other countries think about it. I mean, there's diplomacy that has to be done all the time.
First of all, I don't have Asperger's.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair when people say that I have Asperger's.
Okay.
Especially when the ladies, the sexy baby ladies with sexy time say that. Rawr. You know, I love the sexy babies, you know me.
Come on. What's happening here? It looks like you might go to war with President Barack Obama and the United States over this Ukraine situation, though it is getting very out of control, sir.
Yes, if it happens, it happens. More importantly, I'm going to tweet about it. I'm going to tweet, I'm in a having war with Barack Obama. LOL, I'm pretty sad.
You're pre-sad?
I'm pre-sad about what is going to be happening.
It's funny, I've only heard that from one other person in the world.
I can't imagine who you heard it from other than me. Rawr.
Ralph, tell us about the rap song and how that came about.
It was as much of a surprise to me as it was to anyone else. I do a little show with my buddy, actor, director, writer Kevin Smith called Hollywood Babylon. By the way, we'll be at the Improv Friday night at 10 p.m. if you'd like to go.
I was shocked, Ralph, to find out just this week that you guys have done more than 200 episodes of Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, it's coming up on, it'll be 5 years this summer we've been doing the show.
No kidding.
How
that
about
is shocking.
That?
Yeah,
all right.
It's a real deal. So we get a lot of input and emails from the listeners. A lot of our show is driven by content that is sent to us by the listeners of the podcast, as well as the live audience. So what we do is I comb through it each and every week, and we present a lot of it. And someone sent me an email, said, I'm a big, hardcore rap fan, and I listen to different sources of rap music from all over the world. And I was listening to some underground British rap from the UK, and I ran across a song that features a shout-out to you, to which Kevin Smith and I said, that's simply not possible.
An underground rap...
It's off an album called Stupid Poignant S-Word by a duo named Lee Scott and Ill-Informed. And they had a guest rapper on this one track named Broomman, who apparently is I've come to learn after the fact, is a fairly well-respected underground rapper in the UK.
Broomman.
Yeah. And this is from October 2013 is when this album was released.
Okay.
And in the song, which is called Basie Bat Rap, featuring Broomman goes into a rap, and at the very tail end, what sounded like to us, like he was saying, shout out, shout Ralph Garman, peace George Carlin, what? Sound like he was saying at the end of it. And so we listened to it over and over again during the Hollywood Babylon. We said, could it possibly be, could he be saying my name, or is he saying help in the garden. Is he seeing something that sounds like it could possibly rhyme with my name, and we're just mishearing him?
So this is not anybody that you're aware of. You don't know the group.
Accident. Just submitted by a listener who ran across it, said, you're not going to believe it. I was surprised to hear your name in a rap song, as you can imagine I was. And we're still not sure at this time when we're listening to it this past weekend whether it was real or not. But I'll let you be the judge.
I'm either nice or weird. I can spear fashion. I hate humans. And to file them in sugar-coated candy trucks. Don't eat the brown acid. Shout the Ralph Garman. Peace to Judge Carlin. What?
Yeah, that's Ralph Garman.
Let me hear that again, please.
Just that one piece.
That's Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
I'm either nice or weird. I can spear fashion. I hate humans. And to file them in sugar-coated candy trucks. Don't eat the brown acid. Shout the Ralph Garman. Peace to Judge Carlin. What?
What? Shout to Ralph Garman, peace to George Carlin.
So what? So two names were given there. George Carlin.
We get thrown together, yes.
And you.
Right.
Not bad.
Wow. And so we talked about it, and it turns out I've been in touch with Broom Man.
Okay. This is what I wanted to hear. This is awesome.
Via Twitter. And he is a 30-year-old white rapper out of the UK.
Uh-huh.
And he said, absolutely. He said, Garmy Strong, I'm a huge fan. And he said, I'm surprised that you ever heard about it. I never in a million years thought you'd ever catch wind of it. But it was just, I thought you guys belonged together in that rap. And it was an important statement to me. And I was happy to mention you. So, in those words.
So he did.
To that effect.
So he did it.
It was on purpose and it's real.
My
name is dropped in a rap song. And I could not be more pleased. Well, let's face it, it's not the first time it's happened, but it's always a nice surprise every time I hear.
Wait,
that's
the first time.
Go back.
That's the first time you've been in a rap song.
Oh, no.
You know, what are you talking about?
I have a huge following in the rap community. You know that.
You know what? That's when?
That strikes me as just
you
false.
You know what a big star I am amongst the rappers.
What are you talking about?
You're so white.
The rapper. First of all, I am way ghetto. I am totes urban.
You're saying this because now your name's in what rap song?
I am totes urban.
No one says
and,
that.
And the rappers and the MCs with the mics love me.
What are you talking about?
And when
about?
They spit mad rhymes, invariably my name will come up. It's like the third or fourth time this has happened to me.
What do you? You never mentioned one time. I'm not aware of one other time.
I gave you a couple clips. Play one of the clips.
Sugar coated candy trucks. Don't eat the brown acid. Shout the Ralph Garman. Peace to Judge Carlin.
Okay, that's the most recent one.
All right.
Okay. What about this one?
Sugar coated candy trucks.
All right. Don't play that over.
I'm telling you, I'm playing them in order.
All right, here we go. That's the most.
Why is
recent
that other
one?
Three times? I don't know. Omar is really trying to bring down the entire show today.
I think because you could have played it in success, you didn't have to go back and start from the top all over again.
Be good information. Yeah. Here we go.
My name is Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
How about that? How about that?
Eminem sound like that's really Eminem, though. Come on.
How about that?
Didn't sound even a little bit like Eminem.
Well, it was him, so it should have sounded like him. And there's been other times, too.
What's the name? Ralph Garman.
That was a famous
that's
one.
That's clearly you singing.
That is insane. Why
I've heard
that even
song
happen?
A million times. I've never heard that part of it before.
How would you, what? How about this one?
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no
Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
How about that time when that happened?
That didn't
so,
happen,
the
Ralph.
Rappers love me, first of all.
Yes, okay. They do.
And
all right.
Yo, shout out to my boy, Broom Man, for all the mad props, yo.
What?
What's happening?